And someone who's like mashing people on the head with baseball bats to survive could pick up a copy of one of my books and like put it in their apocalypse backpack and be like, look at this. I'm going to read this by the campfire. That's probably going to get me killed later. That could happen. Welcome to A Book and a Dream with Megan O'Russell, an author's adventure in writing, reading, and being an epic fangirl. Hello, my name is Megan O'Russell, and welcome to episode 60 of A Book and a Dream. Things I did not consider when I decided I wanted to be an author. That copyright goes for 70 years after you die. That's right. You write a book, you die. For 70 years, your heirs can make money off of your book. This is both cool and terrifying. And I promise, I'm not like being morose and like, I'm going to curl up in a corner, it's the end of me. There is a purpose to the weird copyrightness. Now, the reason that it's like super weird for me is I'm a musical theater person by like training and trade. That's where I've spent my adult life. And one of the things I really love about musical theater and performing live is that you get one shot and the audience gets one shot to see it. That performance is never going to happen again. Now, true, a mark of professionalism is giving the same performance every night. You want to hit your marks. You want to do what the director and music director and choreographer and stage manager told you to do. You want to wear your costumes exactly as the wardrobe mistress and costume designer told you to. But happens. You know, your costume could break on stage. Someone in the audience could do something strange. Something weird could happen with a set piece or a prop. And so there are all these moments that happen every night, even if the audience sees them, even if we as actors don't necessarily realize they're happening. Each performance is unique. It's there and then it's gone. And there is no going back to it. Books are like the opposite. So once you put out a book, and especially once it hits paperback, the apocalypse could happen. We could move to like some weird zombie thing. And someone who's like mashing people on the head with baseball bats to survive could pick up a copy of one of my books and like put it in their apocalypse backpack and be like, look at this. I'm going to read this by the campfire. That's probably going to get me killed later. That could happen. And that's terrifying. That's super terrifying for me because that means like, yeah, it's cool. Like, I've created things that could survive in the zombie apocalypse. I could end up in some like weird post-society crumbling library. My books could be there. Now, I don't know why my books in particular would be like treated so well. People enjoy them, but like there's not really survival skills in there, so I don't know how useful they'd be. Well, I guess there's a few survival skills. But not like things that are really going to help you with zombies. But that's the far other end of the spectrum. And this all sort of became very prominent in my head because I've been trying to read Sword and Pen by Rachel Caine. Now, Rachel Caine did pass away recently. She had cancer, is my understanding. I did not know her personally. That is what I have gathered from her official social media page. And I had sort of a weird journey with this series. It is the Great Library series. This is the final book in that series. So when I originally picked up this series, I accidentally started with number 2. And I was like, wow, this author like really counts on you to think as you go, but I like it. Cool. And then I went to buy number 3 and realized I had started with book number 2. So then I thought I went to book number 1, but I might have gone to book number 3. And it all got very confusing. And I loved it all, even though I was not reading anything in order. And I made a post about it on social media. Rachel Caine's assistant reached out to me and was like, LOLOL, you're still reading them in the wrong order. Send me your address and I'll send you the books you're missing. And she actually sent me this book, this hardback of the final book, and then a paperback of the first book that I was somehow still missing, like 2.5 years after all this started. I still had not actually, maybe I started with book 3. Maybe that's what I did wrong. I have no idea. I have no idea how I messed it up. In my defense, if you are seeing the video of this and not the podcast, it literally says nowhere on the jacket what number it is. It doesn't say. Like, there is none of this. This series is why I'm so clear with, like, Enna of Ilbrea, book one. Because it caused me so many trouble. So many troubles with it. But, you know, a lot of that's the cover artist. But somebody probably should have brought that up in a meeting at some point. But whatever. Not the point of this story. Did learn from it, though. So her assistant sent me two books, the first and the last. I now, according to the internet, have all of the books in the series. And I was very busy, so unfortunately I didn't get to read them right away. So when I was sent the books, I went on Twitter and I was like, Rachel Kane, thank you so much. I really enjoy your books. And we exchanged a few tweets. That was the extent of it. She passed away before I had time to read the book she so kindly sent me, which makes me feel like a really bad person. I feel very guilty. And now it's this weird thing with me and this book where I really want to finish the series. I really enjoy the series. I want to know what's happening. Like, I am invested in the characters. But I feel weird reading it because she's gone. And I think this is the first time that I've been mid-series and had the author pass away. Like, obviously, like, I've read things by people who aren't alive anymore. I've read Shakespeare before. Like, that's not weird. Everybody's forced to read Shakespeare, whether they like it or not. I enjoy it. But having her die before I got to read the final book she sent me, it's, like, weird to me for some unknown reason that I probably need to be in therapy for. And the truth is, I'm not the last person who's going to get this book. See, we're looping back around to the 70 years thing now. Full circle. This is going to go on 70 years, her estate. If you're an author, you have an estate even if you don't own property. That's freaky. I don't have weird commitment issues to things. It's fine. I'm married, so whatever. I did one right. 70 years, her estate will be making money off of this book that she so kindly sent me a free copy of. And then it'll go into public domain, which means like 68 years from now, people are going to be like, ooh, Rachel Kane's book is coming out of copyright. It's going to be in public domain. What can we do with it? Because people do that. They like wait to snipe things until right after they're out. Like Alice in Wonderland entering public domain was like a huge, huge thing. And that's going to happen to Rachel Kane's book. And people are still advertising her book. You're probably getting why I'm really freaked out about it right now. And so I've gotten about like a fifth of the way through it. And I read a chapter and then I remember that like someone else is in control of her estate. And then I freak myself out and I put it away and I hide it where I can't see it anymore. Because it makes me wonder like, okay, first of all, there's clearly some paperwork I need to get done. Eh. But also the fact that every typo that's made it through, which it does not matter how good a press you are with, there will be typos. Scythe is the perfect example. I also have a book right behind me that repeats a paragraph twice on the same page. So doesn't matter what publisher you're with, accidents happen. All of those things will be in there. I'm sure in some of my book, I say something that 20 years from now is going to be considered super offensive, even though right now it's considered absolutely normal. And that's still going to exist. And it will continue to exist after I'm dead. And I have to will someone the responsibility for like putting out things being like, it was okay at the time and it didn't mean what you think it means and please still keep reading the books. Like someone's going to have that responsibility for me. Whereas in musical theater, if your top falls off, you just have to go to your stage manager and be like, sorry, my boobs were out on stage. My top broke. And that's it. That's like the end of it. Moment's done. Move on. So that's so much pressure. As an artist and as an author and as a human trying to like influence a generation to be better humans because you can't like yell at people to do nicer things like. As a storyteller, it's my job to like write books that make people be better humans. And it will affect humans when I'm no longer a human. That's so much pressure. So, yeah, I don't really have, like, a tidy wrap-up of, like, and let me know if you, for this one, because I don't know. I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to think about this. Should probably consult a lawyer and, like, make up a will. I don't know. Maybe I'll, like, will everything to a raccoon refuge. Not really. I have lovely people in my life who are, like, gonna get all of it, and if I die old, then it's going to get passed from one generation to another within those people. I could have relatives who are born after I die who will inherit my estate. That's freaky, y'all. That's just freaky. So I guess the roundup, that's not really a roundup because things will be rounding for 70 years after I die. Yeah. The roundup is, it was very kind of Rachel Kane and her assistant to send me these books. And The Great Library is a lovely series. And if you haven't read it and you're interested in dystopian, steampunk-ish book-related things, it's amazing. You should totally check it out. Because even though Rachel Kane is no longer with us, her estate will be funded through you purchasing hardbacks of her lovely book. And I will get over my weird psychological dilemmas and finish it because it's great. And yeah, I have to like really think of 70 years after I'm gone. What do I want people to think of me when my heirs get that last paycheck? So weird. It's just, I'm gonna go now. See you next time.